This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. And it is Healthy Monday. Weather out there is pretty good today.
It's nice.
Yeah.
A little sticky, but in the 70s.
Yeah,
not bad at all.
Sticky, it's the summer. I mean, hey.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Really.
And, yesterday, you and I both attended the Henniker Rotary Fire on the Mountain Chili Fest in Henniker at Pat's Peak. And the weather was not all that favorable going in. And other than maybe a 20-minute shower that happened toward the end, and you may have gone by then, it was pretty nice.
Yeah?
It was pretty nice.
Yeah, it was.
And is that the first time you've gone to that?
No, I've gone
in the past.
Yep. I didn't go last year, but yeah.
Well, this year, as we were talking, they totally
much better outside.
Reset the stage. And, I mean, such a beautiful setting. Why would you be cramming people inside the lodges, thousands of people trying to get at the chili samples, when you could have them roaming around outside, which is what they did yesterday?
Yeah, it was nice and spread out. And
it was.
You know, like you said, no lines, and it was good. It was fun.
It was good from
was
a judging point of view. I don't know if you saw where the judges are. In they have a little gazebo sort of set back. In the past years, we have been set right up front at the stairs coming into the place, and everybody stared at you, wondering what was your reaction to chili number 9 or, you know, chili letter K or whatever. So now we were off in an area where people just out of the way. They didn't know where we were. They couldn't find us.
Yeah.
So we could make all the comments we wanted and not be overheard by people. Did he like my chili? Did he not like my chili? And I had been, the day before, I'd been having, well, you know, I like to talk about it, a little lower intestinal, shall we do, disruption. And I'm thinking, tomorrow I have to go try.
Oh, my gosh, John, you're going to go eat all kinds of chili.
I know. And I think it's because I had some really spicy food or something, Barb thought, that day. And all of a sudden, man, it just hit me.
Yeah.
I was cramping and the whole deal. So I didn't eat much and just left room for more chili. And luckily, you know, I was fine until much later in the day. And today I feel pretty good. So
that is a lot of chili to taste.
It is.
When Daryl and I were going around, you know, and they give the portions, I think, are perfect
2 ounces.
To try.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just, you know, just enough.
Right.
But I'll tell you, after like the 6th or 7th, I was full. I couldn't.
Yeah.
Daryl ate most of them. There's no way I could have.
Well, you know,
when he
came by, I offered him one of my cookies because Barbara and I were selling some of our Chew Hampshire products yesterday. And he said, just too full. You know, I assume he likes chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
yes, he's a chocoholic. I'm shocked that he didn't grab it.
Yeah, he just, and so those things are deceiving. When you go to an event where you're just trying 2 ounces, like a food tasting, a wine event, or the Taste of New Hampshire, or the taco tour. Oh, yeah. Like J-Dog.
Like J-Dog, right?
J-Dog,
right?
Thought he was going to eat all 38. Well, I think he got stopped at about 11 or 12. I don't know if you're there, J-Dog.
I am, only because, that's not because I wasn't full or anything, because the lines were massive and the time.
Right.
So.
Lines were huge.
Yeah.
You are right.
But see, in a way, lines are good because it slows down the process. You can pace yourself instead of just running up and just jamming it down, which is typically how I like to do it. Get in, get out.
Right.
Even so, I don't think 3 hours would have been enough with the lines at the taco tour. I could be wrong, but I don't know. Like you, Carol, it just doesn't take long to get filled up.
No. I mean, gosh, I was, after, like I said, 6 or 7, I'm like, I've had my chili.
Yeah, and the fact that you've been pretty much on a pace of, you know, eating more healthy and not so much that kind of stuff, I think that may have probably, was your little saying, your body saying, no, you shouldn't be doing this, Carol.
It's true. It's true. And, you know, I was surprised at how, because, you know, when you think of chili, chili's chili, you know, but there was so many different kinds, like really varied, you know, from chili to chili. That really did.
That's one of the things that's great about judging. And you well, I guess you can't I was gonna suggest that sometime that they have you as a judge, but then we thought, nah, Red Arrow's got an entry in there. So, you know, if you ever don't enter, I think you'd be a great judge because, you know, in your world of diners and that kind of food, you'd have a probably good palate for it.
Well, I mean, it's a blind testing anyway.
It is.
Really?
Well, it is, but I think you would recognize yours, probably.
Maybe. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah,
well,
maybe, I guess.
Well, you still couldn't do it because, you know, somebody would say, well, she picked her own, you know, even if you couldn't really tell it. But I'll tell you, we had quite an interesting variety. The one for the, and I don't remember, I think the restaurant was, that one was Blackbird.
Oh,
Diner?
Blackbird Cafe,
yeah.
I think.
Blackbird
yeah.
Cafe. And yeah. I think they might be local or
Hillsboro.
Hillsboro, that's it. So they won for the restaurants. I don't remember the other ones. And for the home chefs, of which there were probably 30, one that was made with curry was the standout.
Was that the taxi one?
No, I don't think so.
State of Mind.
Oh, you know, it might have been. Oh,
yes.
New Pork State of Mind.
New Pork State of Mind.
Right.
Wasn't that the one?
Maybe that was it, yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Because they'd won another something earlier, and that was a prize, and they gave it back. They gave the money back.
Really?
For only time that I've ever seen somebody do that,
wow.
Which I thought was tremendous, that people appreciate it. So gave it back to the Rotarians
nice.
To use for their good work. But... you know what? I'm not really sure it was them now that I think back. They did win something, but it was really different, yet it wasn't obnoxious.
Yeah.
It was really, really good.
None of them were real spicy either.
No,
really.
No.
I mean,
the spiciest ones, there were maybe three or four restaurants that I thought were a little bit spicy, which I love. I appreciate.
Yeah.
But none of them were off the chart spicy, and maybe one or two home cooks. And because they get some paperwork ahead of time, and maybe you got it, although I don't know if you saw it, but suggesting that you don't overspice your chili because it's gonna kill the taste. It's not gonna make the judges happy. Because I think I told you the story 2 years ago. Somebody made something. It must have been just all pure ghost peppers, and somebody tipped us off and said, "Don't take much of, you know, chili number 15," and they were disqualified or. Politely asked to either change their recipe or not come back next year.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. If we hadn't known and took a mouthful of it,
it was,
I'm not kidding you, it was paralyzing.
And that would have ruined your taste buds for
the whole rest
of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my gosh. Exactly. So,
crazy.
It's fun. So now I got to think about entering the mac and cheese competition in January for the New England. Was it the Dairy Promotion
Council?
Yeah, exactly.
That's always fun to go to.
It is.
Enjoy that.
So you've been to that one?
Oh, yeah.
That started out first year, bang, out of the box.
Yeah.
It was a hit with people. Hey, middle of January.
Well, mac and cheese.
Food.
Who doesn't like mac and cheese? I mean,
absolutely.
That's the thing. It's crazy. I mean, mac and cheese at the diner sells like crazy.
Oh, I believe it.
You know.
And I'm thinking, oh, I'd love to do a lobster mac and cheese, but do you know how much that would cost me?
Yeah, it costs too much money.
Yeah, because you're making enough for 300 2-ounce samples. And you want to make sure there's at least a little piece of lobster in every one. So from that point of view, it's going to be time consuming.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't know.
Well, let's see. The food holiday today, there's actually a few of them. It is a National Waffle Day.
Okay.
As well as National Peach Pie Day.
Oh,
which is pretty appropriate.
Peaches.
I know. And National Knife Day. That's a little strange.
Tell Lorraine
right?
Bobbitt about that one, yeah.
And it's also World Water Week.
World Water Week.
Yes.
Say that three times fast.
I know. World Water Week.
World Water Week. World Water Week. World Water Week.
Think about it.
But getting back, you said National Waffle Day.
Yes.
All right, so here's a tip for you at home waffle makers. Typically, you use a pancake mix for your waffles. Add a little more oil or butter. And that'll make it brown up better. Add more than what the recipe calls for. That'll make it crispier on the outside.
Okay.
A little
tip
from the top.
Do you like waffles?
I love them. I never make them at home. I don't have them out very often because I just feel they're so filling.
Yeah, and they're fattening.
I don't make pancakes all that often either.
Me neither.
Again, they're so filling, but they're so good.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting on a surplus of maple syrup at home from just events I've done, like yesterday. As a gift for being a judge, they gave me some syrup.
Nice.
And something else I did recently, I got a bunch of syrup. So I got to figure out what to do with it. Pancakes!
Have a pancake breakfast.
Got to do it.
There you go.
Got to do it with some bacon. Oh, it's the best.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's Healthy Monday. You're listening to the
You wouldn't know it by the conversation.
I know, really.
No. But you see who's out there, yes. So we got to be. Yeah.
Rocco is here. He's the in the
fella.
House.
He
we
is.
Haven't seen him for a couple yeah. weeks. I can't wait to hear what's happening with North
Me
Greenway.
Too.
So you're listening to The Pulse. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It is Healthy Monday. And Rocco Boulay is in the house. Integrity Health Coaching Solutions. You can check him out on the web at integrityfit.com. And welcome back, Rocco. We haven't seen you in a couple weeks.
I heard you miss me. Is that true?
No. Oh. I'm just kidding.
All right. Well, I'll see you.
I'm kidding. I couldn't resist the way you asked me that.
Lori and Steve did a nice job filling in.
They did great.
Yes, I'd
They're
like
not
to thank,
Rocco, but they.
Lori and Steve Gamblin, yeah. who filled in for me. I really appreciate it. I needed the space to obviously go get myself ready for that new opening of the North Conway location. So
well, how's the crew?
That's exciting.
Like, how? What are you thinking?
No, it's great. We had hired some staff from up there that came down the previous 2 weeks that have been in our Bedford location training Monday through Thursday, and they learned every aspect of the health coaching model, which was good. And they had to cram a lot of information in 8 short days. So I tip my hat to them, too, because I tortured them like hell. So, you know, it's coming along. We're trying to get open this Friday, so.
Oh, that's exciting.
No way. Oh, yeah.
Soft is that a little ahead of schedule?
Pardon me?
Is that a little ahead of schedule?
Well, we signed the lease really July 1st, and I mean, to build out a health club like that typically takes 3 to 4 months. We're only 7 weeks into it.
That's what I mean.
We've had some great people up there that have really worked out the nights and the weekends and did us a lot of favors. I'll probably have to pay back quite a bit after this is all said and done, but they did a great job, and I'm real proud of everybody who's, gotten together and made this
happen. So the store's all put together and everything, like all that kind of?
It's built. Awesome. The glass is going in today, so we kind of have like a storefront glass thing, and we still have to order the product and put the shelving in, but the actual space is already built out. You know, all the bathrooms are done. Our group exercise room is all done except for wiring in the virtual training program that we have in there. We have half the equipment sitting on one part of the floor that we've already done, which was rubber flooring, and now we're getting the rest of the location with carpet, so we can't put anything on that particular part of the floor till the carpet's installed. So we're kind of shifting and moving things around a little bit, driving my partner crazy, which is good.
So you go to an area that you're not horribly familiar with in terms of, available staff. How difficult is it to hire from a pool of people that maybe you don't have much familiarity with, or they with you?
Well, my partner, who is from the region, he actually
has
friends and family there. And,
that helps.
We kind of knew people there for quite a few years, so it wasn't just hiring from a pool of unknown. These are people that we've known for quite a while. So fun, interesting.
Yeah, so that's such a vacation area. Is that an aspect, or is that
seasonal?
Are seasonals like people that might just drop in or get a weekend's worth of training, or how does that work? Because down here, that's not the case.
We will also have a pass that you can purchase. So if you are a seasonal person, you can actually buy 20 visits for a set price amount. But you'd be surprised at the amount of people that do live there.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at North Conway and you say, well, maybe there's 3,000-4,000 people tops there. But when you really analyze the surrounding towns and what's not there, people who don't have a center like that anywhere near their town will drive up to 10 miles because there's nothing to do, especially when it gets cold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we really looked at a pool of about 15,000 people to draw from. And, it was evidenced by the first weekend that we were there, which was the weekend before this last one, and we signed up 87 people in 2 days.
Nice.
It was nonstop. I mean, I was getting writer's cramp. And then this weekend, we basically doubled that.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. That is really fantastic.
Now, are these people that are putting some money up front to secure a membership, or how does that work?
No, we only charge them the first month's dues, and that's
okay.
It.
Give you a little working capital then.
Yeah, that's very low. No, we need a lot more than that to get started. But it gets us on pace to, because it's a one-year agreement that they're signing, they're basically promising us money for the next 12 months, which in the long scheme of things is providing us with a lot of, you know, a lot of future revenue that's guaranteed to us. And that's how we do it, because this business is a fixed cost business. So once you reach break even, that's where your profit margin is at break even.
Yeah. All right, so you've got people coming from places like Jackson or, you know.
Yes, Fryeburg, Maine, Albany, you know, all those little surrounding towns, Conway,
but I'm thinking,
Glenn.
How many people that live here that vacation in that area now have another Integrity to go to while they're on vacation?
This
so I'm
is,
thinking
this
that,
is true.
I'm sure that crossed your mind.
Oh, yeah, we have, you know, we have the reciprocation where, you know, especially the woman can go to any one of those locations they want. The men won't be able to come down to Bedford and work out with Carol, though. Sorry, Carol. sorry, Daryl.
Yeah.
Is the facility up in Conway bigger than, like, the Bedford location?
Oh, yeah. Three times the size.
Okay.
Yeah. Ah. A lot more equipment, a lot more everything, really.
But, I mean, the same equipment, just more.
A lot more.
That's what I mean.
You know, we have dumbbells that go up to 120 pounds, which is something that you wouldn't use. We have.
Nor I.
we have power racks with bumper plates. You know, those things, the colored weights that are rubber that you can drop on the floor. We have, you know, Smith machines, cable crossover machines, whole line of Nautilus Nitro Plus, another line of hammer strength equipment. You know, there's various toys that people like. We have TRX, we have kettlebells. We have a whole gamut of just about everything.
Very cool. So what do we have? What are we going to talk about today?
Well, I was thinking about how my summer ended fairly quickly. It seemed like I just blinked, and I was I was trying to take a week off way back in June when I knew all of this. This work was going to come my way, so here it is. We're at the end of August, and the kids will be going back to school. So
horrible. I can't believe how fast it's gone by.
Some are back to school, especially other states.
Michelle goes back next week.
Yeah, wow.
So I thought a great topic would be about the brain and how will kids learn, and maybe help people out there with, you know, they have kids going into, whether it's, you know, kindergarten or their first year in college, and talking a little bit about how their brain works and why learning how to study is so important.
Well, if it applies to a healthier lifestyle, why would it not apply to learning? Because a healthy lifestyle is a learning process, right?
It is. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk about was, we talked in the past about fish oils and how they're great at inflammation, but fish oils also contain a lot of fats that are necessary to brain function. Fatty acids, one called EPA and one DHA, and I won't tell you the names of those long term because they're tongue twisters, but they're basically fatty acids that help with the neurological aspect of the brain so that the brain can function at a higher level of cognitivity and learning and understanding and those sorts of things. And what really struck me kind of funny the other day, well, actually it was last night when I got back from North Conway, I went into Fresh Market and I was going to buy some fish. I was like, oh, I'm going to eat some fish then. And I looked at the price of the swordfish and I'm like, holy cow. And I thought about it and I chose not to get it. I got chicken instead, which contains no fish oil, obviously. So I didn't get the brain health benefit of eating chicken over fish. So I was thinking to myself, if the cost of fish is going to be skyrocketing so high, but it's also necessary for brain health, what does a person or parents do for their kids? What would you do?
I'm not sure.
Fish oil supplements.
Oh, there we go. Supplements.
And right. I thought to myself, well, I'm going to go home. I'm going to take two krill oils, which would be probably more omega-3 than I was going to get out of that piece of fish anyway. And it was a fraction of the cost. So I'm thinking to myself, wow, if fish oil or fish is going to become such an expensive commodity for families nowadays and they got kids going off to school, what a great idea is to invest in getting their kids fish oil into their diets. And it's a relatively inexpensive way to do that, much, much more affordable than fish itself.
Yeah,
how and many I'm not saying
don't
we shouldn't
like
eat
fish,
but
right, you should. But how many people don't like seafood and
yeah,
won't
or
eat
if
fish?
You're on a fixed budget and you can't right. afford it, well, there is an option for you.
Yeah, I bought some ocean-raised salmon a couple of weeks ago because you know I like the benefits and the taste, thankfully. And it was probably about $12 a pound, about $5 a pound more than farm-raised. And we know that ocean-raised is better for any number of reasons.
For many numbers of reasons, but yeah. Yes, you're absolutely right. And when a child goes to school, we'll say in kindergarten, or did you go to kindergarten or did you start off in first grade?
Kindergarten.
Do you remember that course that they taught you about how to study in kindergarten?
No.
I don't either.
No.
No, we're going back to the 1800s.
How about first grade? You remember that course in first grade?
No.
Second?
No.
Third?
I get what you're getting at.
There was no course, was there? The most, it's so ironic that we go to school to learn how to study, but yet they never teach us the art of study itself.
Good point.
Pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
Think about it. They'll give you, I remember you learn your basic arithmetic, you know, with the apples, one apple plus one mm-hmm. apple is equals two apples, right? They kind of teach you some of those things, and you learn the penmanship, and you're learning your spelling and all those basic disciplines, if you will, but they never say when you go home and study, this is the approach in which you should take in order to learn how to make these things cognate in the brain so that you yeah. remember them over time.
And by the way, mom and dad probably aren't home to help reinforce those things, which they didn't learn either.
That's right. So if we never learn how to study and the teacher says, now you go home and study,
what does that mean?
It's true.
What the heck?
Every student's caught up, so some catch on and some, but there's one real important thing about study that every child or every student should know. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to test you on that, Mike.
Oh, all right.
Ooh.
I'm up for it. I have a couple minutes to Google
you
it
have
and cram.
Test.
A test from Rocco. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I read something earlier about one guy was giving a tip on highlighting things in different colors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to kind of outline some of the important aspects of something you're learning, it may be good, but I think he missed the point. And I think I'm going to bring that point.
Well, I always say whatever works for you, I think go with that. But if you can have some insight into what's going to make it more efficient, like I assume you're going to share, then that's good.
I'm going to share it. And I think that if every parent and every student just did this one thing, that their grade point average would soar.
Whoa, wow. I can't wait to
well,
hear
Well, I
this.
Was a 4.0, so there's no room for me to... No,
oh,
just kidding.
My.
Where am I going to go?
I know, but that's when they scaled at 10, though.
Well, that's true, yeah. Ouch. All right, touche
for Rocco.
With
you.
You're listening to The Pulse. It's Healthy Monday. We have Rocco Boulay in-house with us, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions. Check him out on the web at integrityfit.com. Stay tuned, and we'll be back with a great tip on how to study. I'm intrigued. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. It is Healthy Monday. We have Rocco Boulay in-house, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions. And we're talking about studying and what it is to study.
And how to study. How important it is to know how to know.
And your premise is that we are not taught that basically in school.
It's the number one thing that why people fail and don't realize that they fail. So we're going to put you to the test,
okay.
If you don't mind.
I'm up
you know,
for it.
With your 4.0, we'll see.
We'll see in my dreams.
What I want you to do is I just want you to read the two sentences in the bold.
Okay.
Read them out loud.
All right.
So the audience can hear.
All right. The young man went to college to study ichthyology, but found it too difficult. After years of not understanding, he bought a boat and learned how to fish.
Okay, so it's ichthyology.
Ichthyology, thank you.
Okay.
Which I don't know what that is.
All right, so think about this for a second.
Okay.
If you're studying that, let's say that's a line in a book.
Mm-hmm.
If I test you on that, okay, ready for exam?
I am.
What does it mean?
What does that whole phrase mean? Or,
yes.
Or the ichthyology?
Yeah, so in the context of that sentence, so read the first sentence
All right.
again.
The young man went to college to study
ichthyology,
but found it too difficult. After years of not understanding, he bought a boat and learned how to fish. It sounds to me like it's the old saying that if you feed a man a fish, he never learns how to provide himself. But if you teach him how to fish, then he can provide for himself the rest of his life.
Well, that doesn't mean that, but that's what we're trying to do with this whole.
Yeah, okay. All right.
We're going to actually try to teach people how to fish, all right? Okay. So I'm going to give that same sentence over to Carol and see if Carol can figure it out. It's just the bull stuff on the top, Carol. Go ahead. Give it a shot.
The young man went to college to study ichthyology, but found it too difficult. After years of not understanding, he bought a boat and learned how to fish.
Okay, so now the exam comes, right? So now your professor's going to give you the exam today, and he asks you a question about that. What's the answer? Well, for example, says, okay, what does that sentence mean?
That he couldn't fish.
Well, actually, you're kind of close. So what people stumble on is that they'll take a sentence like that, and then they'll go back, and I used to tutor when I was in college, and people would tell me, I read this 5 times, and I still don't get it. Mm-hmm. Well, you could read that 1,000 times, and you still won't get it. It won't matter.
Is it because ichthyology, we get stuck with that, right?
We get stuck on the misunderstood word.
Right. Now, that was pre-Google, where it would take nothing to hit Google and find the answer right away.
And the smart person would do so.
Yeah, I would. Well, yeah, it just seems natural. But
if you don't take a kid who's learning how to study and say the one thing you need to understand is what the words mean. And that goes for mathematics, too, because mathematics are more symbols than they are words, but they're still representations of an action.
It's a more abstract concept.
Yes. So if you see the greater than sign or the less than sign, the greater than and equal to, or even knowing what pi is other than a food, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what pi is?
Yeah, it's the form. Well, it's 3.1416297785846 37. Should I stop?
Well, you can keep going on. You'll be here all day.
It's the definite. It's something with the radius of the circle as a relationship to the entire circle.
To the diameter. So, in other words, you take the diameter, you multiply it by 3.14, and you get the radius of the circle.
All right. Well, there goes my 4-0.
But nonetheless, if you didn't know that formulation of what pi meant, then you could never, if somebody gave you a circle and said, okay, I want to know what the radius is, you'd be sitting there with the tape measure trying to go around the perimeter of the circle when there's an easier way to do it.
Right.
You know, that's why, you know, carpenters can make, you know, the different arcs and things and windows and doorways
angles
and that sort
and
of
vectors
thing.
And
so all those mathematics do mean something, but if you don't understand the word or the symbol, then the student gets caught up.
All right, so how do we learn how to study efficiently to kind of bring it back to where we started?
You already told everybody. Have a dictionary in front of you. If it's an automated dictionary, never, ever assume that you know what a word means. Case in point, I was studying with I was tutoring a girl that was in one of the same classes as me, and she said, Rocco, I don't understand this over here. And she was like on one page of, I think we're studying rehabilitation of a knee or something like that. And I told her, I said, it's never the thing that you're studying that you're caught up on. It's something always earlier. Usually it is a misunderstood word that when you got to later on, something didn't make sense. She says, no, it's this right here. And I said, no, it's got to be something earlier, Rose. She says, nope, it's this. I said, really? So, and then I started going backwards, and I started picking out words that I thought might be difficult. And I said, define this. And she was defining quite well. I got back about 5 paragraphs and came to the word facilitate. I said, what does that word mean? She goes, that's a building where they do rehab. I said, oh, really? She was wrong. So I said, okay, let's look it up. She looks it up. It says, facilitate to streamline or make something easier. I go, that's not a building that you do patients.
Yeah.
Rehab patients. She said, no. I said, use it in a sentence. She says, okay, let me think. She says, crutches would help facilitate somebody with a bad knee. I said, very good. Okay, that's what the word means. I said, okay, good. I said, now let's read forward. And she got to the place where she thought she didn't understand. She looked at me. She goes, how'd you know that? Because I said, it's the thing that you don't understand is never really the thing. You have to cut back and find out where you were understood and find the word or the phrase or the part of that process that you didn't understand and you assumed that you knew, which sent you off track.
All right, so how does this tie in with healthy living and learning to do what we should and changing our lifestyle?
Well, again, when people learn things for the first time and they learn them right, the brain actually makes these neural connections. It's no different than when I go out and I play guitar. Now, at one time, if I was playing a major scale, I was like, do, re, mi, fa, so, and going slowly up the fretboard. Mm-hmm. Now, over, you know, because of practicing over and over again, it becomes ingrained. Those neural connections become so tight that now I can buzz through those notes really at a split second's time because it's practice. Everything that is a skill is a practice. Nobody is born a concert pianist either. It takes time to learn the finger work, to get the coordination done. And the more that you practice that, the greater the neurons and the connectivity in the brain works within each other to make that happen. And food, especially fish oils or the omega-3s, help to make that process happen even more efficiently.
But it isn't going to happen without the commitment on the part of the person. I mean, that facilitates a better way of learning. However, if you don't commit...
Pretty good, Mike.
You know, see?
You're absolutely right. But there's where you take a look at... People have to understand the purpose for learning. See, if you don't have a purpose to learn, people won't learn. You know, I would never would have... I hated math when I was in school. Ugh, I'm like, what the hell? What the hell am I ever going to do with this math stuff? You know, pi and everything else,
right.
You know.
Theorems and all
yes,
that.
Yes, you know, and it just, you know, what do I care if I can... If I can make a squirrely little line or know if a train left Seattle at 4 o'clock at 20 miles an hour heading east and another train left New York heading west at 50 miles an hour, what place would they meet?
Omaha.
I'm like, okay, who really gives a damn? But now today when I look at all of the things that I do in science, like our whole software is nothing but algorithms. And those algorithms help me to teach people how to, like every time you look at that program and it says, okay, make that change today. That's so much of a mathematical algorithm behind there that you don't even have to think about.
True.
But without it, you wouldn't be able to have it.
But you've got the computer that can do the work once you learn how to process it in there.
Yes, but I knew the purpose of how important those mathematical symbols or numbers would be for the success of not only my own survival, but the survival of others. Sure. So I've used that to empower other people to be able to have a greater quality of life.
I still think the biggest problem in this whole deal is people just don't learn how to study or don't learn how to commit to study. There's nobody there to kind of to show them that they care. Parents maybe sometimes are too busy. Did you do your homework? Yeah. Well, of course they didn't. You know, and to be able to go to your parents.
Yeah, they need to be cross-checked. And
they need to
be held accountable.
That's the word, accountable.
I would even make, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm discriminating, but I would make the statement that most people across the country who are unemployed right now, mm-hmm. if you looked at their level of education, there'd be a correlation between their lack of education and their lack of ability to get a job.
There may be.
I'd bet you.
Yeah.
In most cases, not all. I mean, I've had some friends that really barely made it through high school that are quite successful today financially. But if that's the measure of what success is, I would actually argue that point as well. Carol's just looking at me and nodding.
I know. I'm
it's heavy
just,
stuff.
I'm taking it all in.
Yeah.
It is heavy stuff.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what's ichthyology mean?
good question. It's the study of fish. Who said that?
That was the voice of God.
Hello, God.
God loves the show, by the way.
Morgan Freeman, is that you out there?
George Burns. All right. So it's a study of fish, huh?
Yes.
All right.
So when you look at it, it's actually quite humorous, the whole thing that I put together. Because I tried to find a word
that
I know
would
stump you up.
But that was good because, you know, it also taught, well, I think Carol and I both used it within the context. And they always taught you, if you don't know what a word means, try to figure it out in the context of the other words and what you think the intent is.
Yeah, I think that's wrong.
No, it's not wrong because of course you had fish there at the end, but we knew it had something to do with fish and we took that cue. Now, yes, the better way is to look it up and see what it means, but if you don't have a computer or a dictionary, then give it a shot and where does it fit into the meaning of the sentence?
Mm-hmm. And another thing I would say about this whole sentence here where mm-hmm. I looked at it after I wrote it, it says after years of not understanding, he bought a boat and he learned how to fish. The other part about learning anything is having the thing that you're learning about in front of you. there are some courses of study, like psychology, for instance, because you're studying the mind. Mm-hmm. It's not a tangible thing that you can actually pull apart and, you know, like a motor, you know.
Right.
You can't pull the pistons and the crankshaft and the heads off it and take a look at it and feel it and touch it. But anytime you can supply the object or the thing that you're learning about to be in front of the student, it always makes it a little bit easier than not having it there. So there you go. Those are my two tidbits of information. Eat plenty of fish. If you can't afford it, go out and get yourself some fish oil and learn how to be happy and think about it all the time. I mean, this is the Think Healthy segment, right?
It is.
I think that was pretty healthy, don't you?
I do. And give us your wrap-up here before we're done.
Oh, yeah. Between your thoughts and your actions lies your ability to choose. Why not choose like Carol does and think healthy, baby? Rock on.
Perfect.
Stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.